You, Carol.
That's beautiful, isn't it? Hush, quiet. Sometimes that's what we need, is to be in the quiet and just listen to God. Think back a little bit in your younger years, if you will, of a gift that you received at Christmas time that really, really meant an awful lot to you. You wanted it, you desired it, and for whatever reason, you received it, came to you under the Christmas tree, and you were so elated that you got that particular gift. I know what mine was back when I was probably about maybe 9, 10 years old. I got a Red Ryder BB gun. I mean, was I excited? That's probably the one thing I've wanted more than anything else. Until I got older. I got older about 20, and then at this season of the year, at Christmas Day, I asked a young lady if she would be my wife, and I gave her a ring because she said yes. My Bible says in Proverbs that a wife is a gift from God. So I got my gift 57 years ago. Thank you, Marilyn, for saying yes. Now think about the gifts. What kind of gift would you like God to put under your Christmas tree of your life? All glittering, all bright, all shiny, all beautiful. But it's a gift from God, like a wife, but a gift. And it's God's gift that He's going to give to us over the next few weeks. The one this morning is the gift of God that He would put under your life and under your basic, if you will, light it all up and have it glowing and radiating in your life is His grace. It's the grace of God. I've been talking about it. We want to share it one more time. Because all of this happened, if you will, in one remarkable moment. A moment like no other. Prophesied for generation to generation to generation. That a virgin would conceive and bring forth a son, and he would be called Emmanuel, God with us. You see, God became human. He became a man. One moment, divinity arrived. Heaven, if you will, opened, and the most precious gift of God's grace came to a young virgin's womb and began to grow. The omnipotent creator of the universe, the one whom and through whom all things were made and created, became flesh and blood, if you will. The one who is larger than the creation and the universe itself became a microscopic embryo in a virgin's womb. Think about it. He who sustains the world by His word power chose, if you will, to become dependent upon a nourishment of a young virgin girl. God came near to all of us in the form of a baby born in Bethlehem, Emmanuel, God with us. In our text this morning, John chapter 1, verses 14 and following, it says these words, "And the Word became flesh." The Word became flesh, and He dwelt among us. And we saw His glory. Glory means radiance of nature, character, and likeness. We saw it. We saw this one who was filled with love and kindness and graciousness and forgiveness. We saw this glory of this one that had been begotten from God, the Father. We saw Him. In fact, 1 John 1 says we talked to Him, we walked with Him, we touched Him, we ate with Him. This one whom we want you to be able to have fellowship with and have fellowship with us, even the Son of God, who is the light of the world. Full of grace, full of truth. Then if you looked in verse 16, you remember John says, "For of His fullness we have all received, and grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth were realized through Jesus Christ." How would you like to have been out there in that field that night when the shepherds and the heavens begin to glow and radiate with the presence of angels. And we sing today, "Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. Peace on earth, goodwill towards men. God and sinners reconciled. Joyful all ye nations, rise. Join the triumph of the sky. With the angels host proclaim, Christ is born in Bethlehem. Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to a newborn King." I mean, they trembled. They were afraid. And then the angel said, "Fear not, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." And of course, we know they went looking and they found him. You see, the miracle of this great gift of God's grace ought to inspire every one of us as God's people in our heart. We ought to say to God, "What a gracious and wonderful and loving and merciful God you are." And it ought to be declared not only by our mouth as we sing it, but by our lives as we live it. God is a wonderful, gracious, powerful, loving Father that wants all of us to be adopted into this great, wonderful family of God so He could bless us and demonstrate His love. That gift of salvation came as it was a gift of grace. That's what it was. Grace being unmerited, right? Unearned. Something you could never deserve, you could never be in any way, shape, or form. You had nothing to do with it. You didn't make it, and you didn't do it. God did. God saw all of us while we were yet sinners, commended His love for us, and that Jesus died for. You didn't deserve that. I said you didn't deserve that. And there's nothing you could have ever done to deserve God loving you enough. That He so loved you, He let His Son die. You could never deserve that. That's grace. Okay? Amen? That's grace, okay? Ephesians 2:4, familiar. "But God, being rich in mercy, because of His great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together again with Christ. By grace you have been saved." And then he goes on in chapter 2 of Ephesians, verse 8. Paul says in verse 8 these words, "For by grace have you been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God." How much do you love Him? Man, I thought my mom and dad was just about everything when I got that little red riding BB gun. I did. You know, I just thought, sure, that, my, they do love me. You know, you ever question whether your parents loved you or not? Well, I thought, well, they must really love me because I got what I wanted. I got a BB gun. There's a lot of sparrows that wish I hadn't of. Point is, that was a gift that really radiated with my heart that I knew Mom and Dad loved me. Okay? What does it take? What's going to have to happen in your personal life to convince you that God really loves you? You know what you struggle with, most people do, is to really believe that there's a God who created the universe, who really does care, and who really does love us. It's interesting, 1 John 3:16 says, "By this we know that God loves us." How do we know it? Because He gave His Son to die for us. My daughter's favorite verse right now that is becoming... It's amazing to me how many times we went to the Lions football game and we were seated in section 316. What does it say? "For God, come on, so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him would not perish, but have everlasting life." You see, Jesus didn't come into the world to condemn the world. He came into the world that the world through Him might be saved. Isn't that what it says? And so when you think about the wonderful grace of Jesus, greater than all our sins, how shall our tongue describe it? Where shall our praise begin? Taking away our burdens, setting our spirit free, for the wonderful grace of Jesus has reached us. It says me, but it's reached us, hasn't it? Yes, it has. Wonderful grace of Jesus, reaching the most defiled, by His transforming power, making Him God's dear child. Purchasing peace in heaven for all eternity, and the wonderful grace of Jesus. You want the gift? Then say it with me. It has reached me. The wonderful grace of Jesus has what? It's reached me. God gave me a gift I could never deserve, never earn, had nothing to do with it. He loved me enough that He let His Son die, that by the grace of God, I could have the promise of eternal life. There isn't another religion in the world that can present to you what Christianity does. Because Christianity is not centered in any other thing than who was this baby born in the Bethlehem of that day. And behold, He is Emmanuel, God the Son, Wonderful Counselor, Prince of Peace, Mighty God. He is the Son of God. Muhammad wasn't. No one. This one born and the Creator who became this little embryo came to the world in an unbelievable way. Now you want me to believe some group of men developed this element of prophecy 800 years before Jesus was born. Isaiah said, behold, a virgin shall conceive and bring forth a son, and he shall be called Emmanuel, Wonderful, Mighty God. And 800 years later, that promise, that prophecy was fulfilled in a little town of Bethlehem. Oh, yeah, but the psalmist said that out of ye, O little city of Bethlehem, will come Him. There are 668 prophecies in the Old Testament related to this one person named Jesus Christ, and He fulfilled every one of them. Now, what's the mathematical possibility of that occurring? I'm telling you, people, you and I have received the greatest gift you could ever receive, and it's in your, I hope, in your life right now. And that gift, you have received it. It's called the grace of God. The aspects of that. You see, the saddest two words that I read in the Bible is when Mary and Joseph reached the inn and they wanted to take refuge there, and the innkeeper said, no room. No room. No, those two words. Jesus was in the womb of His mother Mary. He heard those two words. No room. No room. No room. And Jesus knows the sound of that because He's heard it hundreds and millions of times out of the hearts of other people. I don't have room for you, Jesus. My heart isn't open to you. You're not coming into the inner aspect of my life. I'm sorry, but I just don't have any room for you. And the world has rejected Him and rejected Him over and over again because they just don't have room for Him. It's interesting that the church at Laodicea in Revelation 3:20, it states that, these are His words, Revelation 3:20, behold, I stand at the door and knock, and if anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and will dine with him and he with me. You understand that this prophecy is related to the church and that Jesus is outside of the hearts of the church, God's people? The word Laodicea means of the people. How many of you have invited people to your church? It's not your church. You didn't die for it. You didn't shed your blood for it. It's Christ's church. And what we have done today is we're living in that period of where everything is related to, it's my church, come into my church, my church, my church. Yeah, it is of the people today. Community church, people's church. We're even taking Church of Christ off in it, and we're calling it the Christian's church. Brother, it isn't yours. It's not mine. Christ's church is of Christ. It belongs to Him. He died for it. And we ought to be calling it what He, in Romans 16:16, the churches of Christ salute you. Why? Because it is Christ's church. I'm sorry. But I see the church today, Jesus outside knocking on the door, wanting to get back in. And if you just open the door, he says, I'll come in and I will dine with you and you with me. Have you closed the door? Have you shut him out? Is there any room in your heart for him? Have you heard him knocking lately? That maybe you know and you are refusing it because you see the Spirit of God won't continue to strive with people. I believe that. I really do. My question to me, to you this morning, do we have room for him? And if you really want to get the principle of that, you'll see the fact is that Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. He's preparing room for me up there, right? Huh? Right? There are rooms, dwelling places. He's preparing for every one of us right now, according to Scripture. He's preparing that room for me. Well, if I want to be and receive that room, then I better make room for him. That makes sense? Okay. Because someday the silver cord will break, and I no more as now shall sing. But oh, the joy when I shall wake within the palace of the king, and I shall see him face to face and tell the story, saved by grace. Amen, amen, and amen. Amen. Every Christian has heard Isaiah 9:6. A child is born to us, a son shall be given to us, and the government will be on his shoulders. His name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. We're going to look at some of those gifts that are included in that. But God's grace came because of our greatest need. Okay? If our greatest need had been technology, he would have sent us a scientist. If our greatest need would have been money, he would have sent us an economist. But our greatest need was the fact that we have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and therefore he sent us a Savior. Amen? He sent us a Savior. And angels still sing. Stars still beckon. He loves each one of us. And if there was only one of us, he would have still loved us and loved you no matter what. Okay? He rules the world with truth and grace and makes the nations prove the glories of his righteousness and wonders of his love. And wonders of his love and wonders, wonders, wonders of his love. Joseph, the baby that's in Mary's womb, that baby is there and it's conceived by the Holy Spirit. Joseph, do not be afraid to take her as your wife. Because that baby that is in her, you're going to call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Acts 4:12 tells us, and there is salvation and no one else. For there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved except at the name of Jesus. What does that mean? No salvation, no one else can save us. No other name has the element within and under heaven given amongst men by which we must be saved. In Philippians chapter 2, just verse 5, it says, he took upon himself the form of God. We beheld the Father in all his glory in him. He emptied himself. The Greek word is he emptied all of his ego. That's the Greek word used there. He emptied all of his self-will, all of his self-purpose. He said, I come to do the will of him who sent me. He emptied himself completely of himself. We need to do the same. In other words, if there's other rooms in your heart, and Jesus doesn't have and fill all of the room of your heart, you're going to have trouble really experiencing the joy God's grace. Okay? You understand what I just said? All right? The point is that he emptied himself. He became a bondservant. He became a man. He humbled himself, took on himself the form of a man. He became obedient even to the death of the cross. And then God highly exalted him. And God gave him a name above every name, that at that name every knee will bow every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father. I love that name. There is no more powerful name than the name Jesus. Jesus. Oh, how sweet the name. Jesus. Say it. Jesus. 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 It's amazing, isn't it? How many men, people take that name in profanity? When it's the only name that God has given from heaven by which those and all of us can be saved. Jesus. I love its music to repeat. It makes my joys full and complete. The precious name of Jesus. No word of man can ever tell how sweet the name I love so well. Oh, let us praises even now swell. What? Then praise the name. Praise the name of Jesus. Jesus. Oh, how sweet the name. Jesus. Oh, how sweet the name. Oh, how precious saint. Let us proclaim Jesus. 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 That's what they preached. That's what they preached. When the eunuch said, who is Isaiah talking about? Is he talking about himself or some other man? Reading from Isaiah where it says that he went to the slaughter like a sheep and opened not his mouth. And Philip, at the same passage, preached unto him, Jesus. That's our message, people. We're not here preaching ourselves. We're not here preaching churchianity. We're preaching Christ. And Him crucified. He is the Son of God. And God, by His grace, has allowed you to know Him, allowed you to become one of His children, allowed you to receive a gift that man can't take from you, nor can they give it to you, nor did you ever deserve it. It's a free gift of God. Amen? Amen. Jesus. Jesus. So we're going to stand again, and we're going to sing a song all familiar to you. But sing it from your hearts, and sing it to Jesus. Can you do that? Sing it to the Lord. Sing it as if you indeed recognize the fact that He is your Savior. He is the one who brought grace and truth to you. And because of that, you are going to spend eternity. And right now, He's preparing a room for you. But why don't you just open your heart right now like you never have before and make room for Him?